One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Pompito's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Network. Bottom line is, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. 37, don't make that 38 plus years now. We've been knocking out all bums. Who are we? We are Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer, so I bring a unique combination to that. So the bottom line is, we do the Twitter thing. You know, Elon Musk not my favorite guy, but the bottom line is we do use his Twitter. So the Twitter tag is Not Average Pedro at Twitter. The Not Average Pedro, if you want to get hold of us here in the studios, you can. We can talk boxing. Of course, this is your inside look at the world of boxing, but there's not really a whole lot of boxing happening this week. And of course, last week, the WBC light heavyweight champion was in action, talking about Artur Bitaev. Of course, now it's 20-0, 20 knockouts, of course, knocking out Callum Smith in the seventh round. Smith came to fight, but Too much. That sort of explains Artur Bitaev just in three words. Too much. Bottom line is, he and Dmitry Bivol will probably hook it up in May or June, of course, for the Undisputed World Light Heavyweight Championship. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Coming up after the break, we're getting Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. Of course, Boxing's PhD comes to us from the Bronx Bull, they call him. Straight up, we're talking boxing and MMA for the next hour on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, of course, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and most especially, WBC TV via Facebook. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? Well, what would you do if you have a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's way too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, addiction treatment is fully covered. So why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed to take time off by law, and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call now, 800-771-4125. That's 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 4125.
Craving a guilt-free snack? Check out 100calsnacks.com for a treat that's 100% natural and free from added sugars. These surprisingly filling snacks are a tasty blend of low carbs, high protein, and fiber. And if the taste doesn't win you over, we'll give you your money back. Visit 100calsnacks.com. That's the number 100calsnacks.com. Indulge in a superfood-packed energy boost for just 100 calories. That's right. The tastiest and most nutritious, guilt-free goodness is at 100calsnacks.com.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8 Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. That's 800-943-2153.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long.
My mother said it's not bragging when you're telling the truth. Of course, she stole that line from Muhammad Ali, but she didn't tell me that like until 15 or 20 years later. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, Canelo Alvarez, considered the pound-for-pound king? I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's a faded Mexican star. But the bottom line is the WBC 168-pound champion, of course, he holds three or four of the belts at 168 pounds, is talking about a May defense, maybe against one of the Charlo brothers. Oh, he just beat one of the Charlo brothers. Jamal, bottom line is he's going through the Charlo brothers. Of course, he was talking about fighting Jaime Munguia. Munguia is supposed to take on John Ryder next Saturday, of course, on DAZN. And, of course, that's going to be a fight where if the Munguia was to look good and to maybe stop Ryder, look better than Canelo, they would match Munguia and Canelo. Now, how do I know this? Because Munguia's team came out this week and said, hey, guess what? Canelo's people called us. They want to talk fight in May. Bottom line is that's a mismatch. And to say Jaime Munguia is a journeyman, a glorified journeyman, would not be a slight. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Let's take it from the East to the West Coast to the East Coast and bring in the Bronx Bomber himself, Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, young man?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So what's up with we got another Charlo going to do the thing with Canelo now? That's what they're trying to announce. Are you going to go for? Would you go for that as a boxing fan?
I mean, if it happened 2 years ago, yeah. But, I mean, both Charlos have had their issues outside of the ring. Jamal still holds the lineal middleweight title. He's never been beaten. He's undefeated. He's 33-0. He fought Jose Benavidez, showed a lot of ring rust going to the decision. Look, you just don't know if boxing is a priority for Charlo and if he's 100% focused. You know what?
Excuse me. I hate to interrupt. Screw Charlo. I'm talking about the fans. I'm talking about the people that are going to be asked to buy this fight. In other words, that was the first fight he had, I think, since June of 2021, if I'm correct. And he was off a long time. Of course, didn't look all that good. And beat up on a guy that was moving up two or three weight classes, wasn't he?
Right. I don't think the fight's going to do well financially because I think people are going to just associate him with his brother and the lack of effort that his brother.
Sock, that's not fair. Lack of effort. He held up his hands.
He made the weight, right? At least he held up to that contract. I mean, obviously he was there for a check. The only fight I want to see Jermall Charlo in is against Caleb Plant. I mean, when someone smacks you in the public, you know, and you're basically clowned all over the internet, wouldn't you want your
why don't you fill the listeners in, the viewers in, on exactly what happened there?
I can't recall exactly. I think Crawford and Spence.
Yeah,
Crawford and Spence. One of the promotional events surrounding it, Caleb Plant was approached by Jermall Charlo. They exchanged words. Caleb Plant didn't like what came out of Jermall Charlo's mouth, so Caleb Plant dusted something off of his chin with an open hand slap.
Well, he slapped the spit out of him.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Spit, you know, with an H.
In front of a lot of people. You know, good thing that we live in this modern world. We caught some of it on the internet, and it kind of like has gone away. I mean, I thought that was like a fight that's going to happen next.
All right, let's go to Canelo just for a second. He's got one contract left on that PBC deal, doesn't he? One fight left?
Yes, he does.
Okay, so he has the easy fight with Charlo, and it's going to be an easy fight because, let's be honest, he really hasn't showed the intestinal fortitude or the desire to box in a long time. The Benavidez fight is not a barometer. If the Benavidez fight is a barometer of his skills, he's regressed.
That's a good point. He has two fights. Canelo has two fights left. He's got the one in Maine and one more. You know, either WBC has to hold him accountable, you know, because how's he going to...
Here we go again. You know, we need to get a Mauricio on the show and ask him why that the guy's been ranked, like Benavidez, been 2.5 years or 2 years the number one ranked WBC contender at 168, and he hasn't got a mandatory shot. And I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, come on, David Benavidez probably deserves a shot. Canelo Alvarez wanted to fight Jaime Munguia. Munguia said that this week that the Canelo's team had reached out to him. Of course they did. That was part of the con. If he looks better against Ryder than Canelo did, of course they can make Canelo and Munguia an all-Mexican battle in May, of course, on the Cinco de Mayo holiday. And of course, this is the same guy that said he didn't fight Mexicans, remember?
Absolutely. I mean, unless it looks like Canelo is getting an early start on a maybe political career when he's done boxing, because he's talking out of both sides of his mouth pretty good. You're right. He first said he wouldn't fight another Mexican. I don't get it. You know, I understand that he's the king and
he's not the king anymore, bro. But he's stalling. He's trying to wait out everybody else. In other words, if I wait long enough, maybe Benavidez will fight somebody and lose, or Morell will fight somebody and lose. In other words, he's waiting for the other guys to sort of fall out. He doesn't want to have anything to do with Morell or Benavidez. You don't hear him saying, you know what, if these guys look good in the next fight, I'll fight them.
Right. No, for sure. I mean, he's trying to catch people at the right time. And he's not the first fighter to do that, right?
Well, Floyd Mayweather.
Exactly. You know, it's timing. It's when you catch guys. You know, maybe that's what he's looking for. Maybe, you know, Benavidez suffers some sort of injury. Benavidez kind of regresses. I don't know. You know, but to me, the longer it takes, and it's going to be worse off for Canelo. Because I still think Canelo has something in the tank. But if the fight happens a year from now, then I think he has zero chance.
You know what? When Oscar and Floyd did those good numbers, of course, Oscar had been a pro 15 years. I mean, Floyd was all about timing, of course. And it was revealed this week that the Winky Wright team had put together a package, and Floyd Mayweather had all but signed it, where Winky Wright was going to have to be weight restricted. He couldn't weigh over 160 pounds when he got in the ring after weighing 154 at the weigh-in. And, of course, Mayweather, they sort of walked away from that the last minute. But the bottom line is he's never been in a fight where we say, you know what, who's going to win this? In other words, he knows exactly what time it is, and because of that, the predictability is there, and it ends up being like a fencing match with gloves.
You said it best. You're right. There was very few 50-50 fights Floyd was in, at least maybe, I mean, early in his career, you know, when he fought Corrales. You know, a lot of people, you know, but Corrales was having the weight issues.
Correct. So, Corrales was going to prison. He beat up on his wife. He drug his wife Olga up and down a flight of stairs in Sacramento by her hair.
That too, yeah.
You know, so I mean, the guy was eating in the dressing room, ice cream and cake and all kinds of stuff. I mean, he was celebrating before the fight even took place. We talked about Diego Kraus. Speaking of Diego, having known him knew him when he's an amateur, and of course won the title and had the went to prison and came back and all that kind of good stuff. I knew the two different sides of Diego Kraus, and I'm of the firm belief that he had early CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. I really think so, because things just fell apart with him so quickly. And then once the alcohol kicked in, I think that him driving that motorcycle in Las Vegas through that intersection, I think that was suicide.
Yeah, you know, you're the first person I remember when it happened. And you said he just didn't add up, you know. And I do agree. He definitely had some sort of issues with himself. Outside of the demons, you know, that he's kind of dealing with, probably CTE. But it's a shame.
I'm gonna run CTE by you. Ernie Shavers, Ken Norton, Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali. I mean, Thad Spencer, all those kind of like Jerry Corey. But the bottom line is, all these so-called great fighters we talk about, a lot of them suffer from CTE. I mean, this is serious stuff.
Bobby Chacon.
I'm glad sort of you brought him up. I introduced him at the California Boxing Hall of Fame about 15 years ago. And I'm scared to give guys microphones as the MC, because I gave Kid Gavilan a microphone one time in Miami, Florida. He went nuts and started swearing and all kinds of crazy stuff. I had to grab it back out of his hand. So anyway, when I gave Bobby Chacon the mic at this Hall of Fame ceremony the late promoter Don Frazier put together, I was freaking out, because you never know what the guy's going to say, right? He went into a 5-minute stand-up comedy routine on brain damage. It was amazing. He had the whole, we were rolling around. I mean, but that was Bobby. He was able to seize that opportunity. But later on, I saw him a couple of times. I remember he and I had known each other since, what, 1979, 1980, something like that. So anyway, when I saw him later in his life, when things were going bad, he thought I was Boza Edwards one time. Now, listen, I'm a black dude, but I'm not as black as Boza.
Wow.
I mean, Boza's like midnight. I'm like 8:30. I mean, well, I'm just being real. I mean, you see, he goes, "Hey, Boza, let's take a picture together." So I said, "I didn't know how do you react?" See, I didn't know whether he was serious or whether he was jesting, because he's a good comedian. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know whether he was playing with me or not. So it could have been one of Bobby Chacon's mind games, and I didn't realize it. But the bottom line is, I didn't want to push the issue. When, you know, when he passed away broke. Busted and disgusted. He got nothing out of boxing. Of course, you know, people talk about the relationship he had with promoter Don Chargan. I'll say this before we go to the break. He sued promoter Don Chargan and got money. I mean, he pursued him. Pete Ranzani sued Don Chargan. Tony Lopez sued Don Chargan. So the Hall of Fame promoter, the boy promoter, maybe not all that straight up now that you think about things, because the bottom line is all three of those guys sued him and all three of those guys won. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Right after the break, we'll be back with Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508, 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A+ BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service, featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. That's 800-867-6917.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
And you know who never gets a death penalty? Are crazy people and mentally ill people. Anybody who's got a problem, like a Jeffrey Dahmer. Remember that guy? Was it 4 or 5 years ago? Dahmer was eating a lot of people. And they never gave him the death penalty because he was ruled insane. What a surprise. But if a guy's crazy, that's the defense in America. He doesn't know what he did. He cannot be held responsible for his actions. Well, if he doesn't know what he did, then he doesn't know we're going to kill him. The guy's that crazy, you put the guy in the electric chair, we'll tell him it's a ride.
Yid Vicious himself, he's been in the studio many times. Talk about the great Bobby Slayton. He's retired, of course, stand-up comedian extraordinaire. Broke in, won the 1981 comedy competition here in San Francisco, and he and I have known each other since. But the bottom line is the pit bull comedy, I believe, is retired in L.A. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside. Look at the world of boxing and MMA. Earl Spence had cataract surgery. Maybe he can see the – maybe he'll see the light now and retire.
That's a good one. Yeah, I think, look, if someone really genuinely loves Errol Spence, they need to put their arm around him and say, it's all good. He had a great career. You know, enjoy the money. I mean, it's, you know, enjoy your family. You know, he lives on a big, big old ranch in Texas. Enjoy it, man. Just, he can smoke weed and relax and watch his kids grow.
Okay.
No one wants to see him get beat up again.
Okay. At one point in time, Shakur Stevenson, say 6-7 months ago, was being talked about as maybe one of the best fighters pound for pound. Then he ran into a guy named Edwin De Los Santos, and of course his stock value plummeted. Is there any reason given for that?
Look, he chose to fight a defense first. I mean, his style is defense first, but that was just horrible. I mean, I think that a fighter does owe a fan that pays their hard-earned money. They owe them a performance that's worthy of it, you know? And Shakur Stevenson was very content to just tap and run. And I don't want to hear, oh, massive boxing. No, he was running, pulling back, just a horrible fight, you know? And De Los Santos also has to make that adjustment, but it takes two to tango. And
aren't you describing Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah, but early on, though.
The early on doesn't work for me. You know why? It's what have you done for me lately? And Floyd Mayweather, he's been pulling off Conor McGregor fights and fights with old guys and the whole nine yards. He hadn't fought anybody, I think, since 100. Am I maybe wrong? 135 pounds, he sort of maxed out.
I think the Ricky Hatton fight.
140, exactly. I was there. That's a good one. Knocked him out, I think, in 3 rounds.
A little later, but it was a great shot. You know, he clipped him coming in, and then Ricky hit the turn at the post. You know, so that was, I think, the last brilliant performance by Floyd.
And, you know, the Brits, when the Brits come to town, they celebrate. I mean, they celebrate, yeah. They drink, they have a good time, they're singing in the crowd, this and that. They weren't singing that night.
They were singing Taps. Yeah. Damn, well, I mean, it's probably the best fan base, though.
Without a doubt, probably even more ardent than the Mexican fan base.
I agree. I mean, it's definitely on my bucket list, you know, when I see these cards, you know, from the UK and they pack the house, you know, and they're singing that Sweet Caroline stuff, you know, the elaborate entrances. I mean, I'm sure alcohol has something to play with it,
hey.
You know, has something to play with it, but it's a good crowd.
When I saw Princess Imamed enter that London arena on a magic carpet, that was it. I mean, I was in the UK. The place was berserk. He fought Vujani Bungu, stopped him aside the distance. Of course, the South African fighter. But the bottom line is, man, that was a special night. I'm so glad that I went over to the UK at least. And, of course, that was the night I met Puff Daddy and then Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones. When I asked Ron Wood, why are you kissing Puff Daddy's ass? He said, because Puff Daddy has the best weed. That's what he told me. We were in a urinal together. We were in the bathroom together, side by side, and I realized it was him. I said, you know, why were you kissing Puff Daddy's ass earlier? He goes, because you got the best damn weed, man. Anyway, that's Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones. Let's switch gears. It's a slow boxing weekend, but last weekend they had, like, women boxing all over the place. We got a women's card today. Is that worthy of watching, Miss Meyer?
I think so. I think Michaela's a very good fighter. I thought that she should have got the benefit of the doubt in her only loss against Alicia Baumgartner, but she didn't. She's fighting in the UK. She's moving up in weight, and it's an interesting fight. And as a matter of fact, I believe she's a slight underdog.
They'll be battling for the International Boxing Federation Welterweight Championship. Of course, the IBF stands for a few other things in my mind. You know what I'm talking about. Sock knows where I'm going. Sock knows where I'm going with that one. Okay. Now, back to Munguia. Munguia's going to take on John Ryder next week. What does this fight mean?
It means it should be a good fight. I do think it's an entertaining fight.
Okay.
If you want a fight that could be fought like in the cliche phone booth, as these two fighters. I mean, Ryder, we know, has a good chin. He took a beating, but he never quit against Canelo. He held his own, had his moments in the fight, pressed Canelo. Munguia is limited, but he's fun to watch. You can't take that away from him. He's always in a good fight.
Because he fights with his face?
Because he fights with his face, yes, but he also throws punches as well. it's gonna be an entertaining scrap, I believe, and obviously, it's a setup fight, you know, for a payday.
Okay, Conor Benn's coming back, but he's not fighting in the United Kingdom. Why is that?
Because he was taking Flintstone vitamins and he got caught, and he's fighting someone who actually I know very well. Peter Dobson from the Bronx, New York. He's getting a really good opportunity in Vegas. And it's a good fight. I believe I saw he's a 5-1 underdog.
Okay, for whatever reason, activity and Peter Dobson simply don't go hand in hand. Although the New Yorker is entering his 10th year as a professional, he suffered long strings of inactivity. Still all along, Dobson has been begging for an opportunity, and he has it now against Conor Benn. Of course, quoting Mr. Dobson here, he can't fudge with me.
Yeah, he's got a little chip on his shoulder, Peter. You know, and I know Peter for a long time. Look, he can fight, but Conor Benn's a tough style. You know, Conor Benn, aside from the roids, you know, he could punch. I think he could fight a little bit. He throws a lot of punches. Peter's a counter puncher. He's going to have to be smart. And it's a 12-round fight. And like you said, the inactivity could be a factor. But Peter's a live dog. He's undefeated. And like I said, he's got a chip on his shoulder. I'm in the fight.
Artur Bedibev, of course, stopping Callum Smith last week in 7 rounds. Smith came to fight. He was formidable foe, no doubt about that. But now Bedibev's going to hook it up with Bivol. And, I guess Bivol's a slight favorite or Bedibev's a slight favorite. In other words, the fight's close. What do you think there? Is that really going to be worthy? Are people really going to want to tune in for that?
I think the boxing fan will. Are they going to captivate that crossover audience? No. But it's going to be a good. It's the best fight that maybe two or three best fights we can hope for happening in 24. It's going to happen in Ryder apparently, and it's two contrasting styles. You know, Bedibev knocks out or stops everybody that has been put in front of him, and Bivol is a master technician, you know. So it's like, you know, does Bivol style, you know, frustrate Beterbiev? Does he make Beterbiev old overnight? We're going to find out, you know, but I can't wait. I hope it happens before the summer.
Okay, I started a Twitter thing, and I said boycott King Rye. Of course, I'm talking about Ryan Garcia. He turned down a fight with Jose Ramirez this week. He's now negotiating, or he has Floyd Mayweather giving him advice. That's not good. You expand on that. I can go on, but I'll let you go.
I was not aware of. Look, he's got a promoter, you know, and Golden Boy. Maybe it's kind of like out of spite. I'm going to go to a guy that I know that my promoter can't stand and ask for advice. Look, Ryan, we know is a star, but he doesn't have.
Is he a boxing star or is he a media or is he a social media star? Which one is it? Both?
He's both. Yeah, he's both. I mean, look, he was one half of the biggest pay-per-view card of last year, you know, against Tank. And, you know, I think that he has to bounce back. I think it's important for boxing that he does bounce back because we need stars in boxing, you know. And a fight with him and Rolly Romero, I thought, is a fight that makes the most sense. But, you know, we don't know because Ryan is hot and cold. You know, he's a guy that has had, you know, him reported, self-reported, you know, these mental health issues. So you don't know what's up with Ryan.
Hot and cold, I think you're giving him the benefit of a doubt. I call him lukewarm. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Have a great week, my brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. You're the best in the biz.
Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
We'll find out tonight how much the Ali fight took out of Frazier, if anything. And we'll find out tonight just how good George Foreman is in punching and in taking a punch. I think he hurt Joe Frazier. I think Joe is hurt.
Frazier's hurt.
Angie Dundee, Ali's trainer right next to me, is saying it. You may hear him. Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner. He is as poised as can be. We have a minute left in this first round, and already this fight is proving out what some have expected. Oh, that left is getting in there. Underneath, Archie Moore is yelling to Foreman. We've got the excitement here that we look for. Frazier is dazed. He is getting hit again and again and again. The same head that was hit so often by Muhammad Ali. Frazier is dazed. You see the countdown for the first round. Foreman has not panicked. Foreman is going about his job. Foreman is all over Joe Frazier. Frazier is down again, and he may be. No, he is rising. He is game. He doesn't know where he is. The mandatory eight count. He doesn't know where he is. Now the round is about to end. Two knockdowns in the first round of Joe Frazier. Down again. No saving by the bell.
The great Howard Cosell, January 22nd, 1973, Nassau, the Bahamas. Of course, Joe Frazier defending the World Heavyweight Championship. Had one defense in between the Muhammad Ali fight. Of course, the big fight, of course, the fight, March 8th, 1971. Of course, decked Ali in the 15th round. Actually hurt Muhammad Ali in the 11th round far more than when he knocked him down in the 15th round. But George Foreman celebrated his birthday, of course, January 10th, 1949. When I remember George Foreman, he was fighting in the Golden Gloves here in San Francisco. Of course, I would win the Golden Gloves later, but he won the Golden Gloves in 1968. Here's what's happened. He was in the Job Corps. He was a rough kid on the streets of Houston, Texas, okay? Really a rough kid. A thug, beating people up, a bully, that kind of good stuff. So they got him in the Job Corps, and they brought him to Hayward, California. And then somebody saw him and said, you know what, maybe we could teach him how to box. So the next thing you know, he was at Newman's Gym, which is at 312 Leavenworth here in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Of course, it was the oldest boxing gym in the history of the United States until it was torn down around circa 2000, of course, built in 1927. But the bottom line is, he was at Newman's Gym. This is how he got his act together. I mean, I remember the first couple of weeks he was in the gym, they were talking about this guy that was going to fight in the Golden Gloves. They were talking about it in the newspaper, like this George Foreman guy. Before he even fought, they were talking about George Foreman. Seriously, Jack Fisk, Eddie Muller, guys like that, the Chronicle and the Examiner columns here in San Francisco. So they saw something special in this guy before he even had an amateur fight. So he wins the Golden Gloves. Right. Then he goes down, he wins the Olympic gold medal, waves his flag, that kind of good stuff. Then he comes back to the city by the bay and he begins a professional career. Of course, that's where he's training at Newman's Gym. So we would go down to Newman's Gym and watch George Foreman spar. Unfortunately, he would spar with guys about the size of Daniel in the other room and myself. In other words, guys 175, 180 pounds. George is weighing 220, 230. He was a bully. He beat these guys to death. I mean, he would hit guys when their back was turned. I mean, George was just a despicable guy. He brought dogs in the gym. He disrespected women. I mean, he was just a piece of work. Take it back. He was a piece of spit with an H, okay? He just was. And then, of course, the Jimmy Young fight. He got knocked down in the Jimmy Young fight, and then things sort of turned around. He said he saw God. When he saw God, things changed. And you know what? A lot of guys see God. I mean, I run into it all the time. Oh, man, I've given my life to Jesus. You're full of crap. You know, you're still a dope head. But the bottom line is, no, George really did do the thing. I mean, he did the big metamorphosis. He changed from being a thug into the preacher. I thought it was a bit of a con. Because, you know, I was around him when he was a thug. So, you know, then he won the World Heavyweight Championship, of course, in 1973. Then he lost it a year later, of course, to Muhammad Ali. Of course, the Rumble in the Jungle, Zaire, Africa, getting knocked out in the 8th round. Thought that Muhammad Ali was going to be an old man. Got his woke-up lesson. But the bottom line is that fight with Jimmy Young is a fight that sort of changed his life, and he became a preacher. And, of course, then he sold that grill thing. That grill thing, remember the George Foreman grill? Well, Larry Merchant, I talked about originally him making like $5 or $6 million. Then Larry told me it was $25 million. Then somebody told me he made $100 million on that. Whatever he made a lot of money. Didn't need to do anything else, okay? But George continued to do his thing as far as preaching is concerned. Of course, he still got the little ministry going down there around Houston, Texas. I wish him the very best. The interview we did, and I think we can dig it up somewhere when maybe we'll dig him up for next week. But the bottom line is, an interview we did back in the 90s, he talked about Newman's Gym. He talked about the early days of his boxing career and this and that, and how he was a rough dude, and he didn't, you know, he didn't give a spit about anybody. But the bottom line is, George Foreman did a 360-degree turn, and I really, listen, I'm proud of him now. I mean, when you used to watch him in the gym, my father used to say to me, he's a bully, Pete, he's a bully. And then when Muhammad Ali beat him, it was like they were celebrating. My father thought it was like Independence Day, Christmas Day, Easter, all put together. I mean, he was like celebrating. He couldn't believe it because the big, ugly bear, or like the big thug of George Foreman, was beaten by Muhammad Ali. So my dad got his dream. But at the end of the day, George turned out to be a great human being. He just did. A lot of guys don't, but George, you got to give George props, no doubt about that. Virgil Ortiz, of course, a winner last week over a fighter that some people have got some problems with. Of course, the Nevada State Athletic Commission said that Mr. Lawson did not fail any brain tests. Of course, Tony Weeks, the referee for the fight that stopped the fight a little bit early. I didn't think he stopped the fight early, of course, but the major consensus was he stopped the fight early. He's trying to say that the guy failed a brain test. He was worried about that. The Nevada State Athletic Commission said he was lying, but we don't know where that's at. So Tony Weeks said one thing. The Nevada State Athletic Commission said another. I can't get anybody to go on record as to whether one's true or whether the other's true. But the bottom line is, of course, guys with brain problems shouldn't be fighting. And if you think a guy's got a brain issue, why are you even letting him in the ring? I mean, the Nevada State Athletic Commission has made some problems and had some issues in the past. Joe Messi got hurt in a fight with Vasily Girov. I remember that. You know, Joe was never the same. Guys get hurt in boxing matches. People think, oh, you know, you lose and you go home. No, some guys get hurt. Some guys get hurt really, really bad. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Oh, no. Back to Virgil Ortiz. We'll see 20-0 now, 20 kills. Of course, Oscar De La Hoya calling the shots for him. He was willing to go down to Australia and fight Tim Tszyu. I think that's good news for boxing. In other words, he's willing to go down there. And I still think that there's a possibility that Virgil Ortiz, if he could go back to the height, that I think he'd still be a savior in the world of boxing. When I say a savior, what I mean by that is an American fighter that can capture the globe much like the Golden Boy did. I say that Oscar De La Hoya, because there's only one Golden Boy, because the 1992 Olympic gold medalist went on to win world championships from 130 to 154 and 160. Of course, he was sort of an asterisk at 160, but Oscar made a tremendous impact on the sport of boxing. And now, Virgil Ortiz, at one point in time, like a year and a half, 2 years ago, I thought he was going to be like the next coming of Oscar. And since Oscar was promoting him, maybe Oscar knew exactly how to do it and make him the Golden Boy of 2024. But the bottom line is, of course, it was 2 years off almost because of blood issues, a blood disease. Some people thought it was brought on by he may have been taking performance enhancing drugs. That's what Socrates Palmer tried to drop on him. But the bottom line is, I don't know if that's true or not, neither the Soc. So what I'm trying to say is, at the end of the day, he's still the hottest prospect in boxing. He's 22 years old. He's Mexican-American. He can speak Spanish if he has to. He's exciting. And at one point in time, I thought he was the heir apparent to greatness at 147. I thought he was going to be Errol Spence and, of course, Terrence Crawford. Of course, speaking of Crawford, people don't know what he wants to do. He wants to fight Canelo Alvarez. He's willing to move up and wait and fight Canelo Alvarez. I think that's a bit much if you can get Canelo like to do the weight restricted thing. But Canelo's not going to do anything that's going to restrict his weight. He's going to do whatever he wants to do. I'm telling you, Canelo Alvarez is like a spoiled baby. He's like a rich kid, just like a rich kid, a spoiled rich kid. Right now, he's going to pimp boxing off, and that's unfortunate because at one point in time, you know, he was the best fighter pound for pound in the world. Now, really, I don't know who is the best fighter in the world. Of course, no Inoue. He'll be fighting in a couple of months. Of course, this Japanese star, like now the 122-pound world champion, no doubt about that, having won titles at 115, 118, and now 122. Will he move up to 126? We'll see. But the bottom line is either he, Crawford, of course, the man from Omaha, Nebraska, the lightweight junior welterweight and welterweight champion, three-division champion, of course, talking about moving to 150 or 168. Crawford says he has the skills to pay the bills. In other words, he's willing to fight any of these guys. More power to him. Of course, King Ryan Garcia, or King Rye, whatever you want to call about him, we talked about him a little bit earlier, of course, he turned down a fight with Jose Ramirez. They could have packed Fresno Stadium. Let me tell you, Ryan Garcia is from Victorville, California. Victorville is like on the coast halfway between L.A. and San Francisco. The only thing they got in Victorville, take it back, about 20 years ago, they had a barbecue down there. I took some chick to a barbecue down there. She loved barbecue. I want to go to Victorville. Say anything you want, baby, we'll go to Victorville. And, but the bottom line is, went to Victorville for barbecue. That's all they got. It's like one street going through Victorville, okay? So Victorville is not that far from Fresno, California. So the idea was to put Jose Ramirez, who is from Fresno, and Ryan Garcia, who is from nearby Fresno, in some big Fresno stadium down there. They were going to pack it, 40,000 people, something like that, for a soccer stadium, a football stadium. They packed the joint, and they make some money. And then King Ryan says, I don't think so. I'm not. Jose Ramirez is not part of the equation. Why? Because Jose Ramirez, although he's an unsung hero, basically, he is he's a WBC 140-pound champion, and he can fight. See, Ryan doesn't want anybody who can fight. Ryan's talking about wanting to fight Raleigh Romero. Raleigh Romero, of course, a benefactor of that Tony Weeks decision. Speaking of Tony Weeks, he and Raleigh Romero are like on their same Christmas card list or something like that. Because, you know, when you really want to look back at it in time, Raleigh Romero got the benefit of a doubt there. I mean, Ismael Barrosos deserved to win that fight. Barrosos won a couple of weeks ago, fortnight ago. Of course, he's like the 90-year-old champion of the WBA. They made him the interim champion. Usually, the WBA would have said there's going to be a rematch. But since Mayweather is controlled by Raleigh Romero, I don't think the WBA, the world of bunko and anarchy, wants to mess around with their paycheck. I'm talking about the Mayweather camp. So they want to go against Mayweather after getting that horrible decision, Barroso and Raleigh Romero being stopped by Tony Weeks. So instead of mandating an immediate rematch for Barroso, what the WBA did was they orchestrated a WBA interim title bout. An interim title bout, so now they've got two champions at 144, 140. One is Raleigh Romero, and one is Ismael Barrosos. Instead of matching those two dudes, they're going in opposite directions. So Barrosos is the oldest-looking guy I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he looks older than... He looks like he's 95 or... I mean, he looks like he's 100 years old, but he can fight. I mean, if you look at him, you say to yourself, God, that guy's in his 40s, 50s, 60s. God knows how old he is, but the bottom line is he was a winner a fortnight ago. We wish him the very best luck, and he's my... The reason why I'm endeared with him is the fact he's old. Nobody gave him a chance. He got a good record. And the fact he came out and stopped that guy in one round last week, I think that was really impressive. Speaking of stopping people, why aren't women stopping people? I've talked about this before. They're not stopping people because they're wearing gloves that are too big. That's just the way it is. I mean, all these fights are going the distance for the most part. They had three female fight cards, of course, last week in Japan. It was called the Night of Upsets. We watched three new champions and five female title bouts on Friday in Tokyo, Japan. The main event, Rhea, get this, I get these names right, Rhea Matsuda, 7-1-1, a southpaw counterpuncher, dethroned WBO Anaweight champion. What is the Anaweight? That's 95 pounds. Yoko Kuroko, 22-8, two draws and 9 KOs. In other words, all these women put together this card here in Japan, and it sold well. I mean, they packed the arena. The arena was packed well. They did good on TV. Now, I'm not a big fan of women's boxing because they can't punch. If they can't punch, this month, I don't want to watch Mayweather fights. And, you know, I just don't want to see him. And people are getting on me this week saying to me, you know, you really chastise Floyd Mayweather on Facebook and a couple of those ring generalship websites and this kind of stuff. Listen, Floyd Mayweather perpetrated the biggest con on the boxing world that's ever been perpetrated. He just has. I mean, he kept telling you, fight after fight, listen, I'm going to knock this guy out. I'm drilling this guy. I'm hurting this guy. This guy's going to the hospital. I mean, Floyd went through them all. He did nothing. He did nothing. Basically, Floyd Mayweather was a professional fencer with boxing gloves on. Anything after 135 pounds should have an asterisk next to him because he never really... I take that back. After 140 pounds and knocking out Ricky Yatt. After that, he fought nobody. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Daniel, take it away.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you.
If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands, guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491. Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. That's 800-211-6008.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The horns of the mighty Tower of Power reminded me January 16th, 2014, the passing of the godfather, of course, of the WBC, Mr. Jose Suleiman. He was a godfather to me. I loved him. He loved me. We had a special relationship, no doubt about that. Of course, he was 82 years old. Let me tell you a little about Jose. When he turned, he was a boxer, as an amateur boxer. He got his nose broke a couple times. That's why his nose was a little bent. He told me he got his nose bent, broke like two or three times. He realized that boxing was not for him. Then he became a corner man, did some training this and that, realized that maybe wasn't for him. Then he wanted to become a boxing official. Of course, he became a referee and a judge and that kind of good stuff. And before you knew it, of course, he became in 1962, I believe, when the WBC was formed. But soon thereafter, of course, he became the WBC president for life. And I just miss him so much. You guys have no idea, like, the impact he had on me and the impact that he had on a lot of boxers. I told you that, remember the kid Gavilan? I talked about him, the Cuban star from the 1950s and 1960s, fought in the 40s as well. But the bottom line is, I asked him how he was surviving, you know, because he didn't have any money. He was broke, right? He told me that Jose Suleiman was paying his bills. Like, come on. So there was a couple other fighters that I ran into over the years that Jose was paying his bills as well. So the bottom line is, like, Jose Suleiman was paying a lot of guys rent, paying rent for guys, getting guys fed, this kind of good stuff. There's a list and a litany of guys I can go down, but the bottom line is I don't want to shame them. And Keith Gavilan has passed on. Now, some of these guys are still alive. I wonder what they're doing now that Suleiman's not around anymore. But the bottom line is the godfather passed 10 years ago, January 16, 2014. It was a sad day for boxing and a sad day for the world because he was a good guy. I'll never forget. He was sort of like Muhammad Ali. He told me one time, I said to him, Ali said to me, you can't save every puppy in the pound, right? That's what he said to me, but I'm not going to stop you from trying or something like that. And then when I told Jose Suleiman that Muhammad Ali told me that I can't save every puppy in the pound, but he said to put his hand on my shoulder, he said, but Pedro, that doesn't mean you can't try. Wow, that's what kind of guy Jose Suleiman was. So may he rest in peace, 82 years old. Of course, goodness, I can't say enough. I get a little mushy about him. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Let's end it on that. Let's end things on that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. It's the Saturday edition, of course, of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Comes to you 11 a.m. Pacific time before my eyes get a little watery here. 11 a.m. Pacific time, Saturday for an hour. Of course, the Sunday edition will come to you tomorrow, 2 hours. 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 hours. on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, of course, WBC TV via the Facebook page. I want to thank the people down in Dallas, Texas, the Jackamans, and of course, I want to thank my man, Daniel August. Straight up, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Ring Talk is a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.